Nehemiah chapter number 4. Chapter 4, Nehemiah chapter 4 is where we're going to be. I'm going to seek to maybe finish this chapter today. I'll tell you a little bit of an experience I had recently. And it was interesting. And I'm sorry for anybody here in this sanctuary that this may offend. But I had a little run-in with a mouse recently. When I went camping, I know when men and boys go camping, sometimes strange things happen. And it happened, okay? Somehow or another, while my truck was parked up there near the woods where we were camping, thank you, brother, I had a little friend that decided to move into my truck. And he moved in and made himself at home really quickly. He even liked my trail mix. And I fought with him all week long. Not only am I paranoid and scared to death that I'm going to wreck because I'm going to see him at my feet and I'm going to scream like a girl. There's all kinds of things running through my mind of what's going to happen. Then I had such a good friend. And you just got to love good friends, right? Good friends always are there to help and give good advice. Aren't you thankful for good friends? Well, I had a good friend to say, "Preacher, there's an easy way out of that. There's an easy solution to that." He said, "You just put you a snake in your truck." Don't you just love good friends? That doesn't help. Well, I tried to get him to take my peanut butter all week, and he would just lick that thing clean and go on his happy way. Well, I just want to thank the Lord here that that mouse is no longer as of last night, thanks to a sticky trap. That's all I'm going to say. But I won the battle, and I hope he doesn't have a brother or sister or mama, daddy in that truck, okay? And but I tell you what, it was a trip. And you just never know what you're going to pick up going on camping trips, all right? And so we're thankful how the Lord blessed in that time away. And you just, again, it's just one of those things. Count your blessings, right? All right? So don't y'all be paranoid when y'all go out and get your car today. Just be thankful that there's no disturbances taking place. And, you know, I didn't know that. I didn't know that that was a common thing that a mouse could get up in there. And then I talked to a couple of people in the church that said they had recently also fought with that. So is anybody paranoid yet about going out in their car? You'll be fine. You'll be fine. Just get a sticky trap, okay? It'll take care of itself there. And, you know, I say that to be funny, but it is. It was so interesting because this week has been one of the busiest weeks of the year, just getting things ready for our sabbatical. And boy, that little guy really distracted me a lot. And I started taking it personal. And I found myself being in a battle with a mouse. But anyway, the Lord helped me win, all right? And well, enough of that foolishness. Let me just go ahead and dive into the Word here. Nehemiah chapter 4. We're going to pick up where we left off last week. You remember Nehemiah is at the place where they're at the halfway point. Note that. That's very important. And they're at the halfway point, if you will, and completing the task that God called them to rebuild the walls and the gates of Jerusalem. And anything we do for God, understand, church, it will always be met with opposition. No exceptions. And he is finding that out. As a leader, as a servant of the Lord, Nehemiah is finding out what it means to serve God even in the face of opposition. And so we understand with Tobiah and Sanballat, they first of all tried to be a distraction. We learned back in chapter 2 when they first started approaching them and sort of questioning what was going on. And then it went to another level. They began accusing and now mocking. We talked about last week how the enemy will mock, he will slander, do anything he can. To cause discouragement, That's his plan, all right? Well, today we're going to read about how he takes it to another level. This time, he's not just going to mock and ridicule, he's going to threaten. He's going to threaten. The enemy is going to threaten the very lives of these people. And I find it very interesting that even right now in our current events, and Israel in many ways is under attack. And I just was thinking about this as I was reading the Word of God. And I just thought to myself, wow, some things have not changed. A lot of things have not changed. And this is an instance where the chosen people of God, the Jewish people, were under attack. And Nehemiah had been called to lead this endeavor. And we found that they had a mind to work. We find that in verse 6. Nehemiah encouraged them to stay together and to work together. The people had a mind to work in verse 6. But then the enemy was, the level of intensity went high. It increased because it says that the breaches were making progress. And when God's people make progress, the enemy is disturbed. And he's going to try to counter it. And so what they do, they conspired them together and they came to fight against Jerusalem to hinder it. But you remember where we left off, right? In verse 9. It says, nevertheless, even in the face of this opposition, we made our what? Prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. In the remaining time, I'm going to do my best to preach through this the rest of this passage. And I'm going to have to do it quickly. But I want us to be reminded of this thought. We're halfway there. We can't stop now. We're halfway there. We can't stop now. You're halfway to accomplishing some great things for God in some context. I look across this room, possibly 150 people. Every life represents something that God has you in right now, and you're probably at a halfway point in something. Maybe you're three quarters, maybe you're a quarter of the way, maybe you just completed something. If that's the case, there's still something where God's got you ministering, working, serving, enduring. There's something at a halfway point, and that's where they are. And God's going to teach us something through when we get to the halfway points of accomplishing the will of God. Be sure the opposition's going to meet us there. And we're going to have to make a decision. You're going to have to make a decision to say, we're going to keep going. We're not going to give up here. That was a temptation. But with God's help, we're going to take from this passage and grow from it ourselves. Would you pray with me? Lord, I'm so grateful for your peace and your grace in our lives. And Lord, would you just guide in the following moments, Lord, give me liberty and clarity. There's so much going through my mind right now that I want to say, but Lord, I'm limited, Lord, and I need to be concise. And I don't have to say everything. I just need to say what you want me to say. So please guide me in that. And Lord, meet with us right now. Calm our hearts. Calm our minds. Lord, let us be attentive to your Spirit in this very moment. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Halfway there, we can't stop now. I've told you before how much I enjoy going hiking. I love taking my kids hiking. They like it. I like it that they like it. And so we have a good time. That's something we can do together. But sometimes we go on some long ones. And I remember a few years ago, we went on one that was longer than I thought. And I was thinking it was 6 miles total, but it was 6 miles one way. But we did you get that one way? And so ended up being close to 10 to 12 miles in total. But they made it. We made it. But I remember, and some of those hikes we made together, and I see you, some of y'all smiling now. You remember some of those things. When we get to the halfway point, it's like, are we almost there, Dad? Because there's some things that are missing at the halfway point that were there at the beginning. You know where I'm going, don't you? At the beginning, there's enthusiasm. Hike. Yeah. Top of the mountain. Yeah. Snacks along the way. Yeah. By the way, they love eating those in the first 15 minutes of the hike. But there's an excitement there. There's the adrenaline that is there, you know? And so we're all on board. And man, you stop off, you know, they almost want to start off running. You're like, hold on now. Save, conserve that energy. You're going to need it. And so, you know, they're gung-ho and so am I. But man, you get to the halfway point and a lot of that has diminished. The adrenaline has kind of wavered. The excitement has wavered a bit. And not only that, but not only are you now facing some fatigue, but guess what else you got to think about? We still got halfway to go. And you're thinking about, oh, but I'm tired. But I'm tired and I don't know that I can keep going with the way I'm feeling. And I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what's taking place right here in this passage that we're going to read together. They were to the halfway point and not only had they been getting opposition from the outside, but now there's going to be some struggle and even some opposition, if you will, from the inside. God's people are vulnerable to tiredness, fatigue. We get discouraged. We get to the halfway points, things that God's called us to do. God's given us clarity to do. God set us out to do. And we get to the halfway point and we, oh, is this really worth it? Oh man, the enemy's just going to get me on this. I'm never going to get there. And we start feeding ourselves these lies that we're going to see here. And we got to know how to respond. We got to know how to keep on going. Notice with me in the Bible there. It says here in chapter 4, after they made their prayer unto God and a watch against them day and night, it says in verse 10, and I'm just going to preach through the passage here. I don't necessarily have an outline here for you, but we're just going to preach through the passage. Notice this word Judah. And Judah said, now that is significant. Because notice what Judah is going to say. The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. And there is much rubbish. So that we are not able to build the wall. What do you sense there in that passage? Do you sense some doubt? Do you sense some discouragement? Do you sense some division? You say, well, where do you get division? Well, you got to think about this. Nehemiah was the leader here. He has already rallied the troops. We're going forward. And now he's got some people that are his own people that are saying, Brother Nehemiah, do you realize how tired we are, brother? I don't want to fault Judah too much here. Because I can see myself in Judah many times. Is this really going to work out? Are we really going to be able to accomplish this? Well, and also this is surprising about Judah because several reasons. Number one, I think it's interesting because you know what Judah means. Judah means praise. It doesn't mean pouting. It doesn't mean complaining. It doesn't mean doubting. It means praise. And not only does Judah mean praise, but you got to remember Judah stands out above all the other tribes. It was the tribe that which our Messiah, Jesus Christ, would come from. It's that messianic lineage there. It was known for that, for the kings that were in this tribe. King David himself was of this tribe. And so we understand that they have the reputation of being warriors, being strong, pressing through. But notice the first group. Let it be a reminder. I don't care how strong you are right now in the Lord. And I hope you are strong. I hope you are thriving right now in your spiritual life. I pray you are. But I want to tell you, every one of us are vulnerable. Every one of us is vulnerable and susceptible to getting discouraged. That's why it's of the utmost importance that we always remain vigilant, aware, looking for the enemy to do something to discourage us, some kind of lie he's going to feed us, and something he's going to try to bring into our life to keep us from doing what God has called us to do. Well, Judah said, look, Nehemiah, we're tired. And I just don't see how this is going to be done. He says, look, we're tired. And not only that, but you see all the rubbish. Now, remember, this is 100 years of rubbish. 100 years that this city has been destroyed. And so not only have they gotten going, but there's still a lot to be done. There's a lot of debris, if you will. And it's beginning to, they're coming to think this is too overwhelming. And it says we're not able to build the wall. That sounds like the same sentiment. Remember, there was another instance where God's people were going into a promised land. Remember, there were 10 who said what? We are not able to go into this land. We're not able to go against those giants. We're not able to go against those walled cities. It was the sentiment of discouragement, of doubt. And so Nehemiah's in a position here where he's thinking as a leader, I'm sure like, oh God, give me wisdom. The people that I love dearly and that have been serving you faithfully these days, night and day, they're tired. And so it was at this time that it is announced in verse 11, and our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. That's exactly what they were wanting to do. That was the plan of the enemy, and that was the word they were spreading. They were sowing seeds of fear. And it came to pass in verse 12 that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us, how many times? Look there in verse 12. They came and they said unto us, how many times? 10 times from all places which ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. You know what he's saying right there? Look, they're everywhere we turn. Everywhere you look, you're going to have that enemy staring you in the face. We're getting outnumbered here. It's not looking good, Nehemiah. We're tired. The work is too much to accomplish. I don't know if we can keep going like this. Verse 13. What did Nehemiah do? Therefore, set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places I even set the people after their families with the swords, the spears, and the bows. Nehemiah moves into action. I love this. This is not a man that sits around and starts pouting and complaining and having a pity party. He takes the time and he realizes that we got an issue here. We got people that are discouraged. We got people that are tired. We got to do something. But he's saying we got to do something quick because our lives are at stake. This is no time to play around. And I hope that you have that type of seriousness in your spiritual life. I hope with all my heart you have a seriousness in your life right now that you must take your spiritual growth very, very seriously. It's no time to just sit back in the sense and idle as a believer. No, my friends, God wants us to be growing in grace. He wants us to be progressing in the will of God. He wants you to be growing and He wants me to be growing. But these folks said, look, I think this is going to be just too much. And so he says, we're going to put you in the different positions around the city. And notice what he put. He put families together. That's strategic. Why would you put families together? Well, number one, they're going to be much more protective. So think upon that. You're with your family and the enemy's busting through. You think you're going to be more protective? You think you're going to step up and be willing to give your life when somebody's busting through to murder your family? You better believe you're going to step up and you're going to give it all you have. He knew that that would be a help. So, and he said he also knew that it would be a morale, because I don't know about you, but when I'm with my family, I'm encouraged. I love being around my wife. I love being around my children. Now, there are times when I don't like being around my children. But I love being with them. And I'm sure, by the way, I know they can say the same thing about Daddy. There are times I don't like being around Daddy. That's because we're sinners living under the same roof. Amen? That goes for all of us. But generally, I just love the fact because I draw encouragement for them. They encourage me, and I hope you have that as a goal as a family, that you encourage one another and you bless one another. Be that one that just simply makes it a point that encourages. Don't be one that says, oh no, here they come. We want to be one that encourages. And he knew that that would be an encouragement. So the families were together and he says, and I looked. Now, I think you ought to underline that because that's significant. He looked. He evaluated. I believe he looked up. I believe he looked to the Lord. I believe he looked around. I believe he evaluated the situation and he made a decision here. He rose up. He didn't stay down, thank God. And he said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. I love this. What are the next three words, church? Let's say that together. This is in the middle of verse 14. This is so important. He says, be not ye afraid of them. Let's say this together. Remember. That's it. That's what a good leader will do. That's what God's people will do. In the midst of battle, in the midst when you think all is done, in the midst when you think you can't go any further, remember the Lord. Remember who God is, what God is doing, what God called us to do. Don't just run your spiritual life on emotion and adrenaline and the whole fantasy world that everything's just going to be wonderful and there's going to be no pain, no affliction, there's going to be no trouble, there's not going to be no falling down, there's not going to be scrapes and cuts and bruises. There's not going to be, no, that's not reality, folks. Listen, the reality is we do go through those things. But while we're doing it, we remember the Lord. We remember the Lord. We remember that He's good. We remember that He's God. We remember that He's sovereign and full control. We remember He has always our very best in mind. We remember the Lord. Nehemiah said, we're going to remember the Lord. God is with us, folks. I know what the enemy is saying. He's saying, I am coming after you. But I tell you what, I believe that's a true sign that God is moving in us when the enemy is coming after us. So let it come! And I don't say that arrogantly. I don't say that in any way pridefully. God knows my heart. But if I know anything about this passage and I know anything about my God can handle the enemy with no problem. And it's a sure sign that you're doing something. It's a sure sign that you're making progression in your Christian life. So when the enemy's attacking, understand and remember the Lord. Notice what it goes on to say here. The Lord is great and terrible. That means that word terrible is the one to be feared. And fight for your brethren. Not only do you remember the Lord, but he says, fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters and your wives and our houses. What is he saying there? He's saying, listen, understand, your families are at risk. Your families are in danger. And that's one thing that we realize as a church, our community is in danger. People around us are enslaved by sin, attacking by the enemy. And we got to understand that, listen, our families are even under attack. Listen, please understand, I'm not an alarmist. I'm not one of those people who's always trying to get you to be afraid of something. That's not the Bible's message. But the Bible does say much about God's people always remaining vigilant, watchful. Because the moment you think that your home is not under attack, I'm telling you, that's where you'll get surprised. And it's about time for some husbands in this congregation right here to grab your wife by the hand and say, honey, we need to start praying more together. We need to get the family altar back where it needs to be. We need to make sure we're in church. You know our family's under attack. You know the enemy's trying to discourage us. We need to be plugged in to a local church. We need to be serving God. We need to be living for the Lord and reading our Bibles. We need to be watchful because Satan is after our families. He's after your family. And if you don't think that, you watch out. I fear for you. Be vigilant. and know that the Lord will protect you, but you must be watchful. And that's the theme we see here in this passage of Scripture. He is trusting the Lord, but he's also understanding he has a part. Well, let's keep reading here. It says here, "And it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work." That word there, that phrase where it says, "God hath brought their counsel to naught." You know what that means? I love this. I love this. It means that God frustrated their plans. It means he messed their plans up. He messed their attempt to cause harm. And by the way, God does that for you and me too. He will fight for you. He will cause the enemy's plans to backfire eventually. At first it may seem like good night above in the morning. I'm just getting kicked around. I'm not making any headway. But you just wait and watch and remember the Lord. And the Bible teaches, just like he taught Nehemiah and the brethren here, God is going to turn it back on them. And so what they do, they returned all of us to the wall, everyone to his own work. Let me say a few things here, just in closing. I want us to see that God is going to fight for them, and he's fighting for us. I love this in the Word of God, where he goes through and starts and begins to show them that how we have to work, we have to watch, but we will trust the Lord. Now look at verse 20. It says, "In that place thereof, you hear the sound of the trumpet." That's talking about the trumpet that somebody would have play beside him when he realized they were under attack. He said, "When you hear the sound of a trumpet," he said, "resort ye thither unto us." Underline this next phrase in your Bible. "Our God shall fight for us." You ought to underline that. Our God shall fight for us. Now, let me make it very clear here. That does not mean God's going to fight without you. Some people get the idea where, God's going to handle this. I don't have to do anything. We'll just sit back and watch God do what he's going to do. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, God could do that, but that's not the way God works. You know what that's called? That's called being presumptuous. That's presuming upon God. "God, you will take care of this." No, God says, "Look, I'm not going to fight without you." He says, "I'm going to fight alongside you." God is fighting with us, because you'll notice in the next verse, he said, "We went forth and we labored." You see the element that God expects his people to put a step forward and to exercise that energy and allowing God's grace to come upon you as you battle in spiritual warfare. That's what we see here. God's going to fight for you. And boy, and they fought, did they ever? And they worked. They said that there'd be one with a trowel and one with a weapon. You'd have a sword and a trowel. That's basically one for protection and one to build the wall. And I tell you right now, that was an amazing testimony, because what was that showing is that they were ready. They were ready to battle and they were ready to build. We cannot forget that. God was not only building the walls, he was building his people. And the things that you're going through right now in your life, and I know you are. I look across this room and every one of you is going through something. I am too. God's building you. He's building you. He's building your character. He's preparing you for the next mission. And you may be halfway there and you're thinking, "I don't know if I'm cut out for this." God's with you. He's going to fight alongside you. Yes, the enemy is fuming and the people were frightened. But Nehemiah came on the scene and said, we're not going to be discouraged. We're going to formulate a strategy, a plan. We're going to do what God's called us to do. We're going to look to Him, remember Him, but we got to go do our part. And that's what started happening. And we can mark it down. Attacks from the adversary are successful only if they come as a surprise. Can you mark that down? Can you write that down? The attack's enemy is only successful when it comes as a surprise. Because if you're not surprised, that means you're being vigilant. That means you're being watchful. That means you're being sober. And that means you're holding up the shield of faith, whereby you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. All of them. Because you got the shield up. But it's when God's people just put their shield of faith down and their sword over there and they're just spiritually lazy. That's when, boy, He's going to bring it. He's going to bring it. But you be ready every day. And yes, they're still going to fly. Just because you hold up your shield of faith doesn't mean, well, I don't need to shoot them at that brother or sister. No, they're still going to come. And when you put them down, you put that shield down, you'll know it's still coming. Adrian Rogers said, when you have the approval of heaven, you'll have the assault of hell. He went on to say, it's a fact that in an earthly life, when God opens the windows of heaven to bless us, the devil opens the doors of hell to blast us. When God begins moving, the devil fires up all his artillery. Nehemiah knew that. He didn't panic. He didn't presume. He didn't procrastinate. He put things in perspective and made a plan. And reminded them all that was at stake. He says, you quit now, your family's going to suffer. And brethren, people of God, I love you dearly as your under-shepherd. Don't you quit. Don't you quit. If you quit, many lives are at stake. People around you will suffer. There will be many casualties. Do not stay down. Rise up above that spirit of discouragement and remember the Lord. He's fighting with you. He's fighting for you. It's like I heard a little statement the other day. Somebody was sharing with me just yesterday, and it wasn't even in preparation for this message, but I thought it was kind of cute, but there's a lot of truth to it. And it's not said pridefully. It was said kind of lightheartedly a little bit, but it said this: if God be for us, everyone else might as well be. But listen, the truth is, if God is for us, and He is, and we're doing the will of God, like building the walls in our life, the ministries, the families that we have, this church, Crooked Creek Baptist Church, God's with us. And He is trustworthy. It's a trust and an action at the same time. It was prayer, and it was also precaution. Alan Redpath said this, and this was a challenge to me as a believer. He asked this question: have you learned that to pray without precaution is sheer presumption? In other words, praying and having the attitude, well, I don't need to do anything. God doesn't want us to presume upon that. He wants us to pray and then get up and go in faith. He also said this: have you learned that to take precaution without prayer is a symptom of pride? Means you're trying to handle it on your own. Say, well, it's all about precaution. It's all about me making sure everything's lined up just perfectly. Get my hands on it. That's pride. I don't believe Nehemiah fell into either one of those traps. He simply said, God's going to fight for us, and we're going to trust Him. We're going to remember the Lord. He said, even when we're going to work together as a team, some of you are going to be sleeping, some of you are going to be standing on guard, some of you are going to be building, the others are going to be ready when the attack comes. And when you hear the trumpet, be ready, because we're going to that spot of where the enemy is trying to invade. We're going to stand up there. But can I close with this thought here? The negative must not replace the positive. Can I say that again? The negative must not replace the positive. Was it true that Nehemiah and the children of Israel here had to fight and be ready to fight and stand watch? Is that true? True. But is it also true that they were required and needed to continue to build? So don't let the battle distract you from the building. We got to keep building. Yes, it's a battle, but that does not negate our responsibility to keep marching forward. In fact, let me leave you with this. The greatest testimony of a Christian and a New Testament church like Crooked Creek Baptist Church is to continue battling for the Lord and continuing to build while the battle is taking place. That's the greatest testimony to the enemy, that God's people are not going to give up. In fact, the only way that God's people that are determined with this spirit, the only way to take us out is to kill us. That was them. They said, "We're going to come and kill you all." Well, Nehemiah said, "Hey, let's do what God's called us to do. Grab a hammer, grab a sword. Hey, let's get to work. Stand watch over here. Stay with your family. You hear the trumpet. We're getting there. Listen, God's got us. We're going to continue building." And you know what happened? I'm not going to go up there and read the verse. You can read it for yourself. You know what happened? The people said, "Wow, these folks are not stopping. We're not going to attack." That's what the Bible says. They realized that these people were not going to stop. And God's hand was on them. And I'm not looking to die today. If God wants to take me out today, that's His business. I want to be in the will of God. But I want to tell you what, I wish and I hope and pray that the only thing that's going to stop me from serving God in this life is death. I want to serve Him till I die. Oh, God, help me to serve You till I die with all my being. And may God's people have that same spirit today. Lord, I want to serve You till I die with every ounce of my being. If all I can do is whisper a praise in the name of Jesus, God, let me do it faithfully until I die. And may that spirit come across this church right here and say, "Lord, whatever the enemy throws our way, when sometimes it is relentless, God, by Your grace, I'm going forward. I'm going to keep building the wall one brick at a time." Let's pray.